Let's get this party started.
Welcome to Tinsel Tunes. I'm musician and producer Scott Newman.
And I am the average drummer, Dwayne Bailey.
Average drummer.
How are you, Scott?
Oh, I'm doing great, Dwayne. I was thinking about you today when I was outside mowing the lawn. It's starting to get hot here, so I'm assuming it's starting to get cold there. Is that correct?
It's all over the place. So today is 18 degrees Celsius, which I've prepared for.
For dummies like me.
It's 64 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh, that's not bad.
It's a beautiful day. We've got no clouds. This time of year confuses me.
Okay.
Because it's very much like spring. Obviously, it's autumn or fall, mm-hmm. So the trees have got brown leaves on them.
Yeah.
But it feels like spring. It feels like I should be getting ready for my Christmas lights.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's how it feels, because the weather for us is very much the same, except for the color of the trees and the odd cyclone that comes through.
Yeah, well, I'll second that emotion. I would love to see your Christmas lights, and I'm looking forward to various YouTube videos of how things are coming together. Do you have any quick update for us? Have you started thinking about it? Have you started pulling stuff out of boxes yet?
I have. In fact, if you've seen the display on the house, is what we call a matrix.
Yep.
So it's a whole bunch of LEDs that makes a screen.
Yeah.
I've actually taken that away, cut that into four. And I'm going to have four of them along my fence and replacing the matrix with a projector.
Oh, okay.
So that means I can run videos instead of just designs. So I've been working on that.
It just keeps getting bigger every year, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then just a few other little bits and pieces I've been thinking about, but I'm waiting for the exchange rate to fix itself. So when I order my lights in from China, they're not so expensive.
Ah,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, you suggested a song today that I have never really been fond of. I wouldn't say I hate it. That's not fair. But the song is it's Baby, It's Cold Outside. Same idea. The song is Santa Baby. And sure, it's an okay song.
Yeah.
I don't think I would necessarily change the station if it came on, but I never stop and say, you know, hey Siri, play Santa Baby for me. How do you feel about the song?
Very much in the same boat. If it comes on the radio or a shop playlist, I dig it. But I don't go and put it on my own playlist. And if somebody says, what's your favorite song? I don't say Santa Baby. But in saying that, it's not one that I feel gets covered well enough with other artists, which we'll find out, you know, further on in the episode.
Yeah, we're going to have some decent covers today, but none of them are like, oh my gosh, this has to be on my playlist. It's an interesting song and it's got an interesting backstory. And I think it's perfect for a May episode.
That's what I thought too, because we're going to get into June and July and we've got some surprises or something special coming up, which it'll either be June or July. I'm not sure which episode that one will be.
Okay.
We'll see.
Well, it's gonna be, this is news to me, so great. I'm looking forward to it.
So, but I thought to get into the Christmas, mid-year Christmas spirit, I thought Santa Baby is well enough known and well enough liked that it will get people into the Christmas spirit.
Yeah. I don't know if it makes most detested Christmas song lists. That's usually things like Dominic the Donkey and Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Maybe this might be on the tail end of something because it's a little bit materialistic. I don't really know how to describe it other than maybe tongue-in-cheek or a little campy.
Yeah.
You want to give us a quick overview of the song?
And as you mentioned, the song is a bit tongue-in-cheek, and it really details the wish list of a woman who asks Santa for a sleigh load of extravagant gifts like checks. A convertible car, fancy getting that into the sleigh, fur coats, decorations from Tiffany's, you know, the finer things in life.
It's probably worth noting that this song is now 70 years old.
I know, that's crazy.
And I think it shows, and I think it's from a different time. Obviously, the gifts that we're going to mention, you know, a 54 convertible is obviously not something that's relevant today, maybe for a classic car collector. I don't know what it would have been like to be back then asking for these things. I don't know if it would have seemed silly. I have no way of knowing. You know, my grandparents aren't around anymore, so I can't ask them what they thought of the song. So we're going to be operating from the lens of our lives, not what it was like when it came out, but 1953. That's pretty crazy to me that it's this old. It doesn't seem like a recording from the 30s to me, but I guess it's because you and I are getting old.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it feels like a modern Christmas song in ways, but it's not. As you say, 1953 is Well, I'm 53 years old this year.
Yeah, so, and I just turned 47. Yeah. The song is a take on the traditional letter to Santa, which I also found kind of funny when I was doing some research and looking at your research. It was noted that it's similar to Johnny Marks' song, When Santa Claus Gets Your Letter. That was from 1950, so that was only 3 years old at the time. And we mentioned that song last month in our Johnny Marks episode. There's a little bit of a twist, though. This is not a little boy writing to Santa. The letter writer is Santa's mistress, and Santa is a sugar daddy in this song. And I think that's something I've never really loved about it. I don't know if my mom was part of the women's liberation movement, but I don't think she ever loved this song. And you kind of take on the tone and the point of view from your parents when you're a little kid. So this song was never turned up in my household, if that makes sense.
Yeah, same. It didn't get played in our house. It was just never there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, one thing that makes the song a little bit hard for you and I to understand is that it was commissioned for the actress and the Broadway singer Eartha Kitt in 1953. The only thing I knew about Eartha Kitt was she was Catwoman.
Yes.
After Julie Newmar left Batman. So in various reruns that I would have seen of the original Batman show, I've seen Eartha Kitt. But I never thought of her as a singer. I only knew her as Catwoman. In what we're going to hear shortly, which we actually have some audio from the writer of this song, this woman was like the sex symbol of the early 50s, probably her and Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
But I don't have that frame of reference. She certainly doesn't seem it to me. You know, she was old when we were young.
Exactly.
But, you know, I don't think it can be overstated how important it was that they were writing a sexy song for a sexy woman, and pretty controversial, at least from what I saw.
Yeah, I picked up the same feel with research. The other thing, too, is I'm the same as you. I only know her as Catwoman and this song, nothing else.
Yeah.
Not on the radar at all for any other song, even though she would have done a ton, I would assume.
Yep.
None of them came over my... when I was growing up.
Yeah, she was a Broadway star. I had no idea. I've never heard of Timbuktu, the one that I think she won a Tony Award for it. This is all new information to me. But why don't we play a clip of the original, the definitive version of Santa Baby, as sung by Eartha Kitt, recorded in 1953, okay?
Yep.
Santa Baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa Baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa Baby, a 54 convertible to light blue.
You know, one of the things that stands out, Dwayne, is it's not a super upbeat, fast song. I was just sitting here listening to that with you, thinking, wow, this is on the slower side.
Yeah, it felt really slow.
Yeah.
There is a faster version, which we'll get to later, but it did feel rather slow. But I'll tell you what, the minute that we played it, it felt like a little bit like Christmas.
I felt exactly the same way. Like, you hear Eartha Kitt's voice, and it's a very distinctive voice. There's a breathiness to it. There's a little bit of seductiveness, and you hear that, and it is a Christmas canon song. Yep. So I as much as I say, oh, I don't really like the song all that much, I heard it, and I had those Christmas feels right away. So I don't know how I would feel if I went a whole season without hearing the song, even though I don't go looking for it.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like you said, oh, it's on in the store. It's Christmas.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of songs that I kind of need to hear or mentally tick off of a list to feel like, you know, it's been Christmas.
Yeah, and it's also whether you like them or not, because I feel the same about Mariah Carey's, you know, All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Yep.
If I don't hear it, it doesn't feel like Christmas, but I don't go and hunt it out. It has to come on natively.
I would never buy the record album.
No.
I have a little history on the song, and then I've got a really great series of audio clips. So in 1953, Eartha Kitt's label was Victor Records, and they were looking for a holiday song for their star. And the task fell to songwriters Phil Springer and Joan Javits. Now, Springer was 28 at the time, and Javits was 25. And I do have two audio clips from Phil Springer, and he's now 97 years old.
That's crazy.
Explaining how the song came to be. And I really like this.
Joan called me up and said, a man that I've been seeing a lot of, Charlie Grion, asked me if I could write a Christmas song for Eartha Kitt. Would you like to write it with me? And I said to her, I can, but it would be impossible. She said, why? I said, because Eartha Kitt is the sexiest woman in America. She's the biggest star on Broadway and a sex symbol. How can you write a Christmas song for a sex symbol? Joe said, look, Phil, you just write the melody. Let me worry about the rest of it. And that started it. We went to the publisher. He said, Joe and Phil, can you write this song? And we said, yes, we'll do it. Joan said, how about the title Santa Baby? We all jumped up because we knew it was great. And that very afternoon, Joan and I went back to my apartment and started writing the song. That's how the song was born.
What an absolute priceless gem it is to be able to hear the creator of a song explain how it came to be. You know, of course, some of the more modern songs, we can hear Mariah Carey or Kelly Clarkson talk about that, but these are old, old songs. Kind of makes the hair on my arm stand up when you hear, you know, someone who's such a distinguished, famous, he himself is obviously not famous, but his creation is very famous. And I just love that.
There's also a YouTube video that shows him playing a part of the song on a piano.
Yeah, I've got a clip of that us as well.
Yeah.
From your notes, it says that it only took him 10 minutes to write the music.
Yeah, it's
and
genius.
We hear this all the time with very famous things. Oh, I wrote it in 5 minutes. Oh, I wrote it in 30 minutes. They didn't labor over it for weeks and months. These things, I don't know, came out of a stream of consciousness by incredible talents. I've got a second clip from that same interview here. It's a little bit shorter about how the song was written. Ready?
Yep.
We took a cab back, and in the cab, I knew what I wanted to write as a melody. So the first thing that happened was I said, Joan, here's a tune. And I had composed it in my mind, away from the piano, in the taxi cab. I said, da-da-da-dum, dee-da-da-da-da-dee-da-da-dum. That's all I've got. And she immediately came up with a line, Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree. And I said, Joan, I need two more words, because I want to add two notes to what I did. The two notes are this. Slip a sable under the tree, da-dum. And Joan said, for me. I said, perfect. And that's how the song began. Then we wrote the other lines in a similar way of bouncing back and forth one to the other with either a melodic or a lyrical idea.
It's amazing to me to hear him say, da-da,
yeah,
because of course the answer is for me.
Yeah,
and
but there isn't anything else.
It was brand new at the time. It didn't exist. They were writing it, which in itself blows my mind, but of course it was for me. What else would it be?
Yeah.
But we have the benefit of hindsight on that. So you smiled at the same exact time I smiled. I was watching you when he said that, and very fun. I wish we had more of these kind of things for songs that we love. It's just a treasure.
It's nice that it's actually out there. It's recorded.
Yeah.
Because a lot of songs come and go. The song stays famous, but you don't know, you know, the writer passes away or the singer passes away, and you don't get to hear the insight of what they were thinking when they wrote or sung the song.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great to hear these.
Yeah. And this was, I believe it was just past the Tin Pan Alley era of New York songwriting. We have to remember he didn't write the actual version that Eartha Kitt sang, the one that we heard. He wrote the melody and he wrote the lyrics.
Mm.
We'll get to the arrangement in a minute, but I want to play this clip of Springer playing and singing his original version of the song because I think it's so cool.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Is good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing. a ring. I don't need another phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry tonight.
That clip was almost a minute long, and I could have cut it halfway through, but I didn't think it was fair.
No, I like the way he sings the song.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed it a lot more hearing it from him. The last thing I want to say about the history is that Victor Records hired an arranger. His name was Henry René, and he created the arrangement for Eartha Kitt that we know, the specific background music, all that kind of stuff, any background vocals. I don't know much about him, but I got the feeling that he was important in the music scene at the time. I don't have any more information than that, though.
In the research that I did, he came up quite a few times as the go-to guy.
Okay. The last thing is that Springer said that the Eartha Kitt version, that original from 53, is his favorite version of the song. He did mention that he's not into Taylor Swift's version.
Neither
am I. Can you tell us about the popularity of the song and the chart performance?
Yeah, so when it came out in 1953, it didn't go unnoticed because it was a little bit controversial, suggestive and sexy for a Christmas song, and many radio stations refused to play it. Today, that wouldn't be an issue for this song.
Oh, gosh, no.
Because they play so many worse songs.
Right, right.
Yeah. One critic, Robert
Fontenot? I think it's Fontenot. I'm not sure.
We all know what I'm like with names.
Yeah. It's a. How about a critic said?
Yeah, a critic named Robert said that Eartha's voice was almost uncomfortably erotic, but the words she wrapped around it proved cute enough to get past the censors.
Yeah, it's funny that it's a snapshot of the morals of the time that this would be controversial. But, you know, this is not long after, you know, women were supposed to wear nothing but like a one-piece cover-up to the beach, too. So, very, very, very different time. Continue.
Exactly. And there's also another critic, Caroline Framke,
I think it's so Framke. Hard.
Yeah, well, she was a feature writer in the Los Angeles, and she pointed out that the song unabashedly fawns over the commercial aspect of the holiday, and pointed out that Eartha's lightly gravelly voice, lends an earthliness, which is no pun intended, that never belonged in Christmas music before. And in 2019, there was a poll which was created by the Evening Standard that Kitt's version of Santa Baby was voted the 9th most annoying festive song by British listeners.
Well, we'll either have to get Adam from Merry Britsmas or Jack from Total Christmas to weigh in on their opinion of Santa Baby.
That'd be a good idea. Maybe we could bring them on an episode one day.
Oh, I'd like that. I'd like that a lot. If you guys are available for Christmas in July, let me know. How about the chart performance?
So, the only part I popped down was that it rose to number 4 on the Billboard charts and became the biggest hit of Eartha Kitt's career. As of 2014, it sold more than 620,000 copies.
Yeah.
So, that's a lot of copies.
It was the biggest Christmas song of 1953. But you mentioned the controversy. The notes said that's one of the reasons it became the best-selling song is controversy sells, you know?
Yeah, bad publicity.
Probably want to find out what it was all about. But the song didn't stay popular for long, right?
No, it did not. In fact, the song's popularity wore off just after 1 year. So in 1954, it was only played on black radio stations.
And I wasn't familiar with the term black radio stations. That was in the Springer interview.
Yeah.
But this was a whole other world that I was not aware of. It was more, I think, what we understand as R&B type ones. But I think that's kind of a pre-civil rights era term, and I don't really like it, but those are not our words, so just make that clear.
It's a quote. And Springer said that the song was dead and the royalties wouldn't fill the gas tank of his car.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. It didn't stay that way forever, though. So that's like 28 years, I think, of obscurity on the song and unpopularity. But then something happened that you and I are very familiar with as children of the 80s, right?
Exactly. And that is that the copyright term had expired on the song, and Javits sold her share of the rights to Springer and gave him total control of the song. And then for years, he tried to get artists to record it. And in 1987, Madonna's version appeared on the charity album A Very Special Christmas.
Mm.
Now, Springer didn't make any money from this version, as all the royalties were donated to the Special Olympics. But Madonna's version brought the song back into the spotlight, and it has been a Christmas standard for 3 decades.
Okay, we're going to risk it, Dwayne, and we're going to play a very short clip of the Madonna version because I think it bears listening to.
Yes.
Santa baby, slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight.
One thing I never really liked about that version, Dwayne, was it kind of has this baby talk voice.
It does,
and
yeah.
It was always icky to me.
I mean, the tempo is fast, obviously.
It is.
And we'll mention that later on, but it doesn't sound seductive.
It doesn't sound seductive in the same way. I think it gets a natural seductiveness from who Madonna was in 1987, which is near the peak of her career, right? Like,
yeah.
I would have loved to play the entire Springer interview because it was funny to hear it coming out of his mouth, but he said about Madonna, she was the only one that could get away with saying, you need to buy me things if you want my love. He said, after all, she was the material girl, and the lyrics of the song fit that image perfectly. So in his opinion, no one else could have sang the song. You know, it was that persona of Madonna that made it okay again.
It was a good play on his part, really.
It really was.
Take at the time, a sexy singer, Madonna, who was also controversial, get her to sing a song, and that will also become a little bit controversial, and the song now sticks.
You're right. It was like a reinvention of the controversy all over again. You and I have been on many podcasts talking about the 1987 album, A Very Special Christmas. Seminal,
yep.
Incredibly important, great songs, terrible songs. You can find us talking about it in other places, but super important to me and you, I think.
Yes, exactly.
I thought it would be fun if we went over, we did this for the 12 Days of Christmas. We talked about how much the gifts would cost. So I took that same idea and I wanted to know what would the gifts in this song cost. It turns out it's pretty difficult to nail down exactly because some of the items are vague. You know, she just says a 54 convertible. She doesn't say that it's a Cadillac. She doesn't say it's a Jaguar, anything like that. So we have to make some guesses. But a couple of websites have tried to do it. So here are the items that are mentioned in the song and like a ballpark figure of what they cost. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. A sable, which is a fur coat. I found out that a sable is kind of like a Russian weasel.
Okay.
And I was never familiar with that. I thought sable was a word that meant fur coat scarf thing.
Yeah.
No, it's an actual kind of fur. That would be about $88,000. She mentions a 54 convertible. And a couple of websites said that at the time, the popular car probably would have been a 1954 Cadillac 62 Series DeVille Coupe convertible in light blue. So I went and looked up what that car would cost us at auction, and in decent shape, it would be about $100,000.
It sounds about right.
Now she says a yacht. Yachts are all over the place. I've never bought a yacht. I'm sure you have, Dwayne. I have not. But you can go from cheap to like Saudi Prince level here. So I went with the average number, and that was about $640,000. So that would
get
you a decent, a decent yacht. Yeah, exactly.
New Zealand dollars, of course.
The most expensive item is the deed to a platinum mine. And I guess there are only a couple in the world.
Yeah.
But that would cost about $461 million. A duplex, that's another vague one. A few websites said, well, she lived in Manhattan. Let's assume that she wanted a duplex in Manhattan. I should be mentioning also that these are today prices. These are not 1953 prices. A Manhattan duplex today would cost you about $18 million. Another item she mentions are checks. Those are just unspecified. I guess she wants blank checks, so we just have to not count those. Christmas decorations bought at Tiffany, so Tiffany & Company. This is actually the cheapest item on the whole list here. That would cost about $24,400.
Yep.
And finally, she just says a ring. Well, she obviously has high taste, so I picked a very general luxury ring at $1 million. And that brings the total to just about $500 million for the items mentioned in the song. And I just thought that was kind of silly.
Yeah, she's very easy to please, isn't she?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I learned in Santa training that Santa has unlimited budgets.
Yes.
So So $500 million.
But how do you get a yacht into a sleigh?
How do you get around the world in one night? Wormholes. I don't know. You're right.
We know the secret for that.
How do you put the yacht under the tree? I mean, and none of these things make sense. So we can't think too hard about it. So we said that, okay, this version's fine. The Madonna version, I actually think, is a little better, but I think it's just because it's more modern to me and it's a faster tempo. We do have a handful of what I guess I'd call popular versions.
Yep.
I don't know if we can call the versions popular or if it's the artists that are popular. It's a gray area that's somewhere in there. This is a song that seems pretty important to female artists to cover. And I say that because the list that we're going to go through here is like the who's who of important female artists. So I think this is just one of those songs that if you want your credibility, you've got to cover it. Or, you know, maybe like in the case of Kelly Clarkson, that you can really do something vocally with it that other people can't. So what's the first one we've got here? Because I think this one is the most important.
Yeah, well, I did mention before that Eartha Kitt recorded a faster version. Mm-hmm. So in 1960, she recorded a new studio version of Santa Baby for her Nap album, Revisited.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called. The album featured new songs or new versions of songs that had been recorded earlier with RCA Victor, and the Nap version is faster but shorter by about 1 minute, with the more emphasis on orchestration and no vocal accompaniment.
Yep, and this is also important because microphone and recording technology was growing by leaps and bounds in the 50s, so the version recorded in 1960 would sound a heck of a lot better than the one in 53. So here is a clip from the 1960 version by Eartha Kitt. Listen to the difference.
Santa baby, slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight.
And just to remind you what the original was,
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree.
Very different. And honestly, Dwayne, I think the 1960 version loses a lot of the seductiveness and that breathy kind of thing she did with her voice. I just don't think it's very good.
No, there's not enough room left once you up the tempo. And I think that's perhaps some of the problems with the ones we're about to listen to.
Okay.
Because a lot of them go for the faster tempo.
All right.
Which I think doesn't leave them much room to be seductive like Eartha Kitt was in that first one.
Yeah, and we've got some artists here that everybody is going to recognize. You have this one in here, and I just thought it was such an interesting choice. It's Mae West, and I think she was an important film star in the 30s?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a very, very strange version.
Santa baby, just put a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney to me.
Very different in the way the vocals were done, in the that background, you know, in the guitar, the musical arrangement.
Yeah.
But because it was so interesting and unique, I wanted to make sure that we played it today. It got me thinking that I would have loved to hear what a singer like Billie Holiday could have done with this. But unfortunately, Billie Holiday died in 1959. So we, you know, would never know. Ella Fitzgerald, I don't know if she ever did a version, but that's another one I would have wanted to hear. So I'm not going to say the Mae West version is a great one. It's just a really, really unique one and very different than some of the other ones we're going to listen to.
Yeah, well, the Mae West one was the first one that popped up when I started researching.
Yeah, I didn't know it existed.
No, neither did I. So I thought, yeah, that's interesting enough. Let's put it on there.
Yeah, and as much as this is a music discovery show, well, we discovered something we sure didn't know about. So it's worth noting.
We discovered one.
I should mention that Mae West version was from 1966.
Yeah.
These are in a chronological order. The next one is Leanne Rimes. This is from 2004.
Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby.
That one had a bit of a lounge jazz feel, and it might have been the walking bass line.
Yeah.
But I liked that because the music was so understated, and she has a phenomenal voice.
Yeah, it's not being pushed. The song doesn't push you, but her voice is phenomenal.
Yeah, really nice. The next one is by Taylor Swift. I'm not a big Taylor Swift fan. I recognize that she's incredibly important in the music world and people absolutely adore her. This is a very country version. This is from 2007, not like her modern pop stuff.
Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. I've been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
Slide guitar and everything there.
It's okay.
Yeah. It lends itself okay to that country genre. I've never been a fan of that genre, but the percussion is very forward on there.
Yeah.
And that gives it something that we haven't quite heard yet.
Yeah. I don't mind Taylor Swift's music in batches. She's not on my playlist, but once again, when it comes on TV or radio, at most of the time, I will listen to it.
Yeah. I would never say she's not good.
No.
It's just not my thing, that's all.
But it does feel like it was almost like, here, sing this for 2007's album because you need to do a Christmas song.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was just an EP, too.
Yeah.
The next one is Kelly Pickler, also from 2007.
Santa baby, slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby.
You mentioned in the show notes that you really liked this version. You want to talk about it?
Yes. I didn't know she did a version. I am only familiar with her through the Hallmark Christmas movies.
Yes.
I didn't realize that she had been on it. Was it American Idol?
She was on American Idol, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize she actually had a history like that. It's just, oh, that's that actress from the Hallmark shows.
Again, it was that country kind of thing because she is a country artist or leans that way.
Yeah.
It's
okay. It was slow enough, though, that she could really do something with it.
The next one I thought was pretty fun. I thought about not including it because the audio quality isn't the best. It's a live version that was recorded in 2009. NBC does a special, the Christmas in Rockefeller Center, when they do the tree lighting. And this is Shakira.
Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing.
I really like it. She has a vocal affectation there where it's going, and it kind of reminds me of a Catwoman kind of thing. And I thought that was a fun callback to Eartha Kitt. Not a great recording of that, but another pretty unique one.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly the same thing. Very close to Eartha Kitt's vocal style. But the quality, it's a shame. I don't know if there's a recorded version that they've put out, but they should do.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I didn't see any others, but what a talent.
Yeah.
The next artist, probably really important in your part of the world. We don't hear as much here, but I do have a couple of her albums. This is Kylie Minogue.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
When she says tonight, I liked that. Yep. It was fun. She's a great talent.
Oh, very much so. And as you say, very important down here.
And she's huge in your part of the world, right? In the Anzac area?
Yeah. Yeah. But she comes from New Zealand.
Okay.
No, she comes from Australia.
Okay.
Each country keeps claiming each other's assets.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That's what you guys are arguing about. That's good.
Yeah. It's like Australia have claimed Crowded House, but they're actually ours. And so I'm claiming Kylie Minogue. So.
That one was from 2010. And the last one of these really popular female artists is Kelly Clarkson. This is from 2021.
I've been an angel all year,
what I really notice about that one are those background vocals, because they are way, way up in the mix.
Who doesn't like gang vocals?
Yeah, a lot of times background vocals are mixed so they're much quieter than the main vocals, so they don't compete. That was not the case, and I've seen a lot of Kelly Clarkson, and she appears not to have such an ego that she would say to the producer, hey, make sure I'm number one in the mix. So I liked that, and it was another one that's very different. She's an incredible talent as well. So that's our list of those notable artists.
Yeah, but we've missed one artist is noticeable.
Okay.
But, or notable, I should say, Michael Bublé.
Okay, well, I do have a little sub-list here of male artists who have done this song.
Yeah.
Because that's a whole different thing. Yeah. Let's listen to the two that we have, and then we can kind of trade some notes on this one. This is Michael Bublé from 2011.
Santa Buddy, a 65 convertible to steel blue. I'll wait up for you, dude, Santa Buddy. And hurry down the chimney tonight.
The other one is by Everclear. You found this one, and I was really surprised by it.
Yeah.
Santa baby, just slip a guitar under the tree for me. Been an awful good boy, Santa baby. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. Yeah. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby. So hurry down the chimney tonight.
I love the distorted guitar in that. What a great tone they were able to capture there. That one was from 1997, so pretty old at this point. What are your thoughts on these male point of view versions of the Santa Baby song?
So with Michael Bublé, I don't like the way he changed the lyrics. Santa Buddy.
Totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I hate it. I absolutely, like, it makes me throw up in my mouth. And to each his own. This has nothing to do with male relationships. No. Nothing like that. I just don't like that he changed the words. And he's calling him Santa Dude and Buddy. Yeah. It's just, to me.
And I think the tempo is way too slow. If it was faster like the Everclear version, I think it would have come across a little better.
I actually like the Everclear version. I thought it was pretty good.
I do too.
Obviously, they're changing a few lyrics here and there just to make it make more sense. But Everclear didn't go and change all the lyrics to like a different convertible and a different color and all that kind of stuff. I, on one hand, I'm fine with somebody kind of modernizing the song and saying what they would like. There's something that's kind of fun about that. But the other side of me says, well, they're kind of disrespecting the original version of the song, which is a classic. So I don't know how I feel about it.
It's a shame. I mean, this was the first and only time I've heard the Everclear version doing the research. I didn't even know it existed.
No, I had no idea.
It's a shame it didn't take off and become a thing.
Yeah, I liked their approach to it. I thought it was very fun. And we don't have nearly as many cover versions as we normally have because they're just not that prevalent.
No.
It's a harder one to do for reasons that we just went through. I did find a couple. I've got a ska version by an artist named Ska J.
Yes.
Santa baby, mi basta un ermelino sotto l'albero. Io son terribilmente buona. Santa baby, mai scendi, sto aspettando solo te.
Okay, so that was Ska J. I would say it's not great ska, but it's fun to hear the song done in that style. Did you like it?
I didn't mind it too much. Once again, not a playlist material, but it was fun that somebody decided, hey, let's take this seductive, sexy song and turn it into a ska version.
Yeah.
It was fun, but not playlist material.
Fun is a great word for it.
Yeah.
The next one, when I heard this rock version by a group called First to 11, I thought Dwayne is going to love this.
Santa baby, slip a sable under the tree for me. I've been an awful good girl, Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby.
Yes, I'm familiar with First to 11. They're huge on YouTube. They actually have Christmas albums. I've covered them before.
I feel like we've talked about them.
Yeah, we have.
Okay.
Yeah, they've done quite a few.
Maybe subconsciously, that's why I knew that you were going to enjoy it. I really like that take of the song. It's got energy. I don't know. There's something about it. There's a little more grumble, a little more power that I like.
And once again, it's a version of a song that should be more popular than what it is. In fact, all their Christmas songs should be more popular than they are.
Yeah, I really like what I have heard of them, and I should be collecting some more of it. I've got kind of a reggae version by an artist named Danique.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a brand new car convertible to.
What I like about that one, Dwayne, I don't know who Danique is. I think she's a recording artist that you'd find on YouTube with kind of middle-of-the-road popularity. I might be wrong on that. But she stayed very true to the original in her vocals, but it's reggae. And I love the reggae beat. I love the tempo of that. So when it all came together, it was like, wow, this is a recipe where I didn't think the ingredients were going to work, but they really work.
They really, really worked. Yeah, I do like that version a lot.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
I got two more silly ones because I was kind of going through saying, well, what if there's a barbershop quartet version? Well, the answer, this is like Scott's rule number 99. There's always a barbershop quartet version. This is by a group that goes by Five Ways Barbershop Quartet.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me.
Now, that one wasn't recorded all that well, but they were all in the same room, obviously, and it sounded very, very open and wide. But a fun little take on it, just a little silly, kind of made me chuckle and smile. What do you think?
Yeah, I like that one for the fact that it's, once again, it's fun. I did read the blurb on YouTube. They were, I think it said they were in a music class. They dressed up. They did the song in one take
The
end of their season.
Okay.
And popped it up on YouTube. So, yeah.
Well, it's a heck of a lot better than anything I could have done. So, good for you, Five Ways Barbershop Quartet. And finally, because we always have to have a chiptune version, here's a version by an artist that goes by Scarlet Lotus. Dwayne, I can't remember the name of the synthesizer technique, but that sounds like all the demos of little Casio synthesizers you could buy in the 80s, and that the version wasn't all that good. Chiptune versions rarely are.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of funny, and it just made me smile.
Well, I think sometimes you got to think, like in this case, Scarlet Lotus. It's like, so what song should we cover?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's do Santa Baby because nobody else has.
Yeah, well, there's a reason nobody else has because it doesn't translate well to chiptune. There's very few songs do.
Yeah.
So that was about 15 or 16 versions, a little lighter than our normal crop. Anything stand out to you today?
As I mentioned before, Everclear.
Yeah.
Is one. And the Kelly Pickler song.
Okay.
Both those two, yeah.
If I had to pick one from the traditional list, I think I like the Kelly Clarkson version because it was so unique. And then of the silly ones, or not the silly, but the other covers, I loved that rock version by First to 11. That one really made me smile. So a good list today. You can go to the show notes. You can find the links to all the songs we've played, and you can hear them in their entirety if you want to.
Yes, and it also, I sent you a message, Scott. Remember, it said, has anyone sent us any emails?
Oh, yeah.
And you said...
No.
No.
No. Hold on. Let me pull out the song of shame. 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 No, we haven't gotten any emails, and we would love to have emails from you. We would love to hear. It doesn't matter what you send us, honestly. I'm kind of like an old person waiting by the mailbox. Anything that shows up would be lovely. Tell us what you want to hear. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you hated. I don't know. Tell us what you want to hear for Christmas in July. Just email us, please. TinseltunesPodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, because if you haven't realized, this is the new format going forward with both of us.
Yeah.
And we haven't had any feedback on what you guys think.
Yeah, I love recording with Dwayne. It's so much fun.
Yeah, me too. Even if arranging time zones is a little bit tricky.
It is a little bit tricky. We're almost like on polar opposites of the world or something here. But it's totally worth it. I would stay up until the middle of the night if we had to record these things, because I just enjoy doing this with you. And there's something fun about the fact that you are quite literally on the opposite side of the world from me, and we're still able to do this. I absolutely love it. We're so lucky.
Exactly. When I started Tinsel Tunes, and I was, I had a lot of fun as a single host, but I always thought to myself, I need to have guests on, or would love to have multiple hosts. And when things fell into place that yourself and Jay took over for a while, and then
we've merged into
this. I'm absolutely loving it.
I've recorded episodes of things by myself, and they're never as good. And they're always quick and short, and I just have more fun. It's just like hanging out with a buddy, and we just happen to be listening to Christmas music, and that's pretty great.
And we've got a lot of followers on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that, Scott, that yourself, you're not a big social networker.
Right.
As you mentioned on Christmas Morning Podcast last week. But I do want to interact with people through Facebook. So by all means, pop onto there. Share your versions of this song and your thoughts as well. And we can read them out on future episodes.
Yeah, that would be fun. I would love to do a mailbag type episode if somebody would email us. That would be wonderful. I also want to hear, one of the things that happens here, Dwayne, is people get an idea of what I like.
Yep.
And they get an idea of what you like. And if somebody came across another version that we didn't mention here, and said, you know, I think Scott would like this based on the other stuff that he liked. That would be so cool to get.
That would be awesome.
I'm always looking for new stuff. That's what makes this so much fun. So just because the episode's over doesn't mean that the discussion has to be over. So if there's a version that you like, either email us or go to the Facebook group. The Facebook group's a great place to do it as well, because it's really easy to post links and stuff. But any way you want to interact with us, we'd love to hear from you. And if you've got something to say, we'd love to cover it on a future episode.
Exactly. Constructive criticism is also good as well. I mean, we are two middle-aged.
Speak for yourself. No, I don't want any criticism. No.
Okay.
If you want to criticize Dwayne, twinseltunespodcast@gmail.com. If you want to criticize Scott, I don't know. Go away at gmail.com. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Feedback's always very, very much welcome. And we really appreciate everybody who just comes and listens. It's hard to be a Christmas music fan in May, and we get that.
Yeah, very much so.
Well, anything else you want to say today, Dwayne, or we should let the people go?
I think we should let the people go. It's almost an hour, which has become our new norm in hour-long episodes. When I was doing it, we were like 20 minutes to half an hour.
But it's so fast when you're by yourself. You can't, unless you're having a conversation with yourself.
Exactly.
It's harder. So. Yeah. Well, thank you for joining us, everybody. We really do appreciate it. Like we mentioned, if you want to find out more information, you can go to tinseltunes.com, see all the back episodes. This is episode 54, I believe.
Yeah.
We have a lot in the back catalog. If there's something you want to hear or you have a suggestion, tinseltunespodcast@gmail.com, or search for the Tinsel Tunes group on Facebook. Until next month, Dwayne, I think we're going to be halfway to Christmas, so we should do something big, but we'll keep that one under our hat. We got some plans.
Yes, we do. And I'm looking forward to hearing what or sharing what I've got in mind. So it should be pretty awesome.
Yeah, and we really need to have that episode out on the 25th of June. So we'll do it a little earlier next month, but that's usually my fault. But thanks for joining us, everybody, and we will see you in June. Until then, Merry Christmas.